You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do I get credit for going to the grocery store sushi for dinner and trying a different roll that I typically get for lunch, and like I felt like a new man, that it was just a complete reset?
What was the roll?
So I almost always get a spicy tuna roll for lunch, right? Oh, just so in there, basic. In and out. Basic. So super basic, basic. Easy.
But it's good.
It is good. I'm not dissing it.
Got a rainbow roll for dinner last night.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's very a good, good one.
It was very good.
I have double a little cheese. Hesitation. Little hesitation on a rainbow roll from the grocery store.
Here I am.
But if it went okay.
Here I am. I mean,
sushi from a grocery store is a little sus, but you know.
Not if they're making it every day. If they're bringing it in from another place and it sits there until it sells. But this place, they every day, it's brand new. I see the guy. We say what's up to one another when I go to get my plastic, my wood chopsticks and my two packets of soy. We've got a routine.
The Albertsons he goes to.
It's fancy.
They flew the tuna in from Tokyo.
Okay.
At the Jet. One of the markets the
Got
night
it.
Before.
Got it.
Yeah. They I do don't the know. Tuna auction at his Albertsons.
I don't know how you're gonna sell me on that because I just think of the worst experience you can have with food poisoning.
Oof.
And it was like that because of grocery sushi.
Look, I haven't eaten a cinnamon roll in 40 years for this reason.
Yeah. So it's just like...
I'm not trying to convince you to do it because what you're describing is I had that experience with cinnamon rolls when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
I ate a bad cinnamon roll log.
Yep.
All of the cinnamon rolls. And I haven't had one since. Lived on the bathroom floor for 3 days.
My aunt, when I was like 10 years old... made us some kind of soup Middle Eastern dish. To this day, I won't touch that dish because of that. I don't think I've ever told her.
Nope.
I'm going to tell her next time I see her.
You should, what's her name? Aunt who?
Yazdan.
Aunt Yazdan.
Yep.
Oh, that's a nice
name. Remember that soup? Remember that soup you made me?
Yep.
Got to tell you something.
I got to tell.
I have a confession. I
thought I was bringing up my aunt.
Do you call her Aunt Yezzy?
No, I just call her Auntie.
Okay, yeah.
Auntie.
Auntie.
Yeah.
Don't let her make the soup, though.
Right. No, that's not happening. We already know that.
Did she pick up something on her way in?
Did she? No, it just, sometimes I think could have just been a bad batch of something,
So bad Yamamoto luck. Tonight, or tomorrow morning, I said, look, can we just get them back so we can stop worrying?
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yamamoto.
How about this? The next Dodger game, Yamamoto will pitch. Glasnow pitched the opener last night and was... What are we going to give that, a C+?
C.
Yeah, C. Yeah.
He was good in like the first inning and a half. And then
walk four guys.
Listen.
He can't walk four guys.
Listen. I'm going to say B-.
Gave
up two runs in five innings.
Walk four.
Not bad.
Walk four. I'm with you.
That's three too many.
I completely agree. But when the dust settled, he gave up two runs in five innings in Korea. C+, B-, we're splitting.
Yeah,
we're splitting
it was okay. I'm terrified of walks because here's how the Dodgers are going to lose: bad defense and walks.
Sure,
that's the nobody's going to light these guys up. Yeah, but the Dodgers score so many runs, you're going to have to give them a few runs along the way for them to be able to match that horsepower. As far as Yamamoto goes,
good point.
It's really interesting. People that are baseball fans and people that are baseball people, not even just necessarily baseball fans, but people that understand baseball, go into tonight's game, tomorrow morning's game, the next game, whatever we're calling it, and understand that Yamamoto is a work in progress, right? That this is a new league with new umpires, new hitters, a new baseball, a new work routine. Instead of being a 6-man rotation, he's in a 5-man rotation. It's very, very new. It's going to be an adjustment. He could go out there tonight and strike out 10 guys, and people will lose their minds that he's the second coming of, Roger Clemens.
Sure.
He could go out there tonight and get knocked out of the game in the third inning, having given up 6 runs, and people are like, oh my God, what did they buy for $300 million? The guy can't get anybody out. Neither one of those things are true. it's going to take some time, but I'm really curious how he's going to respond to the spotlight, to the pressure that's there. Because when you're the highest paid player in your position in the whole sport and you've never played in this league,
sure,
that's a tremendous amount of pressure.
I don't know how much this has anything to do with it, but I think if he had... He's going to pay $325 million to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and this was after... Just remember the offseason that they had. Shohei first, then Yamamoto, or Glasnow, whatever the...
I think Glasnow was right before Shohei, like that, I think. Right?
Whatever
after
it was.
Shohei. Was it after Shohei?
Whatever it was, but when the dust settled, your squad spent basically $1.3 billion in an offseason.
Got to fill the team, Slee.
Got to fill the team. Yep, got to fill the team. I think for him, this is how I feel, and I don't know if people are going to give him the same leeway that I would give somebody who just came over, like you just mentioned. He's 25 years old. He's never pitched in a regular season game in Major League Baseball yet.
He's never faced hitters this good.
Can we give him a second?
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that if through 10 starts, he is 4-4, and that ERA is not what you're looking for, should there be this, what the hell is going on here? You got to do better. Because I think there is going to be that. I think there's going to be, I think people are expecting him because of the terms and the dollars and the amount of success that he had, that he's just going to come into the major leagues. I mean, it was one or two starts in, and wasn't it Mark Pryor that was, hey, you're tipping your pitches.
Yep.
And he was saying that publicly.
Yeah.
It's going to take a second. And I don't know if people want to give him that leniency. I would. I would caution Dodger fans out there. It might take a second for Yamamoto.
I think for me.
Shohei's in a completely different position of walking in. He played 6 years in the majors before he came to the Dodgers.
There's no question mark about whether or not Shohei's ability is going to translate. He's the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Right? He just is. There is a question. Yamamoto has never played in a league that's this good. He's played in the second best league, but he hasn't played in the best league. And I think you got a good glimpse of this. I'm going to put on my very, very uneducated scout hat here for a second. You mentioned some numbers that if he does, 4-4 in the ERA, this after, 10 or 12 starts, whatever. I'm not going to be so much driven by the results of how many strikeouts does he have, how many hits is he giving up, how many walks, how many wins, any of that stuff. To me, it's much more about the mix of pitches that he's throwing. How often are guys swinging and missing at his stuff? That's the big thing
for me. It's a telling sign.
If guys are swinging and missing a lot, that means he's going to be okay. Even if, like, there could be days where he strikes out six but gives up seven hits. That's okay. As long as you're getting a lot of swings and misses, then it's just a matter of refining the mix. I think you saw it in spring training. The first time through, guys didn't have very good luck against him. The second time through, he was a little less precise with his fastball in particular. In particular, throwing the ball up in the zone. Okay? In the Japanese league, that 96.7 mile an hour above the belt fastball, not a lot of guys that are going to hit that pitch. In this league, there are. You can't throw that pitch. He's going to have to find a way to throw a different pitch in those situations. I believe that he will. I believe that he'll figure it out, and he'll figure it out pretty quickly. But if we're 10 starts in, Slee, and he's not getting a lot of swings and misses, and guys are hitting the ball in the barrel frequently, that's when you start to go, hey, what's going on over there? But as long as you're getting a lot of swing and miss, and as long as the mix is getting refined as he gets deeper into the season, he's locating pitches a little better, his sequencing is a little better, then I'm not going to be worried at all. What does that look like much more than, hey, he's 3-4 with an ERA of 5.5? Give it time.
Are we underestimating the Dodgers' risk from the offseason? Let me explain.
Yes.
Because simply put, this is how it's going so far. Simply put, it's they spent $1.3 billion. Okay.
On three guys. Four guys.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Tascar. Or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So they spent $1.3 billion. You already won 100 games last year. You got the best player in baseball to come over and represent your team. And you got the biggest free agent in the offseason. Forget Shohei for a second. There was probably about four or five teams of the biggest markets that were saying 300, 275, how much can we give you? Just come to us.
Mm-hmm.
The risk that I'm talking about is it's easy to just automatically assume it's all going to work out perfect. What's your hesitation on Glasnow?
Health.
They gave him 5 years.
I know. And he's 30.
That's not a Dodger thing.
It's not.
What's your hesitation on Yamamoto?
New league.
He's never pitched here.
Yeah.
They gave him 12 years. 325. And the only reason why I point that, I'm not saying that it's not going to work. What I'm saying is Dodgers are very strategic with everything that they do. This offseason, it was more about just go get them, and I don't care what it costs. I don't care what the risk is. Just go get them. And maybe, Trav, it's easy for them to make that decision because they're going to make so much freaking money signing these players. Yeah. Maybe that's
well,
the difference.
The hedge. I agree with everything you said, by the way. I think the risk is real, but I think it's negated for two reasons. Number one, you kind of touched on it right there. Number one is, economically, there's no risk for them. They've already made whatever it cost them to bring specifically those two players in. Glasnow's not going to pay for himself. Those other two guys are. They're going to pay for themselves virtually instantly, okay, with what you get in Japan, international, and everything else. So that's almost a net zero. You won. You won that. But there's massive baseball risk, right? Because you're not just bringing them in there to go get from 100 to 110 or 12 wins. You're bringing them in to win the World Series. And if they don't, it's a failure. If they don't win the World Series, quite frankly, this year, it's a failure. It is.
Well, there's
no scenario that exists.
Can I help you out? Yeah. It's this year moving forward.
Of course.
Like, that's going to be the...
It's this year moving forward until Shohei Ohtani has gray hair and is walking with a cane, right? It's just that this is... This you're all in. This is the nuclear option. This wasn't nibble around the edges. This was, you know what? I got to crawl out on a thin branch for the first time in a long time. Let's crawl out there and let's see. Tyler Glasnow doesn't pitch. When he pitches, he's good. He doesn't pitch very often. I think he had a career high in starts last year. I think it was 19.
Yep.
It's funny. When they traded for him, instantly, you know, the conversation was, hey, that's a good move. They went out and got him, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
And then when they extended him, it was like, wait a minute, who did that?
Yeah.
Dodgers? No, Dodgers don't do that.
And that seems like the bargain deal that they did.
He might be fantastic, and maybe everything changes, and maybe the organization just says, guys, things just work out better with us than they do with other organizations. But I go back to it, that was not a Dodger-esque type of move.
It wasn't, and there's risk. Look, anyone want to read me the names of everybody that's been awesome after they've had two Tommy John surgeries? You got three on your pitch in your pitching rotation. You've got May, Buehler, and Ohtani have all had two Tommy John operations. One of your other starters is a 36-year-old man with a history of back problems. Okay? Like, I know it's Clayton Kershaw. I know he's going to the Hall of Fame. I know he's that, but he's also 36 with a history of back problems. Your three other guys are going through this twice. Okay, there's risk. They're also going to score 9 runs a night.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
That helps.
They're going to be okay. The risks are there, but the reward is bigger.
They're going to slug, and they're going to get big moments from their big guys, and Yamamoto gets his first chance at it tonight. Jimmy G is a Ram, and he talked yesterday, and he said something that if you're a Rams fan like me, you should be pretty happy about. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about a little late Ask Laura? You ready for one past the deadline?
Yeah, let's go.
This is from MVP Ohtani Protection Agency. I like that. Do you have a favorite theme park snack? First of all, are you a theme park person? Are you a Disneyland person?
I'm a huge Disney person.
Okay.
So my tradition when I go to Disney, I have to get a churro.
Okay.
That's like...
Like right away or at some point?
No, no, no. At some point. Okay. At some point, I have to get a churro. And now with them having like liquor around the parks, I got to get a cocktail. I got to sneak in a cocktail. That's not really a snack, but I gotta sneak that
in. So you have to go to the other side, right? California Adventure is the only place you can find that.
No.
No?
Well, I mean, they have at Disney,
yeah,
at the Oga, at where like the Star Wars land is or whatever.
Oh, that's right. They have the bar back there. That's yeah. right. I forgot
but
about
then
that.
Now there's certain places and certain restaurants at Disneyland that also have
liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah.
What do they got?
I mean, it's not like super hard stuff, but you know, it'll give you a little good
take of the edge
nazzle,
off.
You know,
I got to take some family there soon. I'm gonna need all these notes.
You can get creative, you know, if you know what I'm saying. I'll give you tips outside of mic.
Okay.
Okay.
Off mic. Yeah, all right. Because then I can get in trouble.
Hacks, so to speak.
Hacks between us.
There you go.
Find me in the DMs. I'll tell you.
These are my favorite things because when they introduce, you could get some beers and like some margaritas and stuff like that over at the California Adventure. So a glass of wine or whatever it is. I did not know that there was something going on. You had to own that Club 33.
Oh,
you
yeah.
To get access to that, which was hard to get.
That's still hard. I'm still waiting if anybody, because you can only go in there if you got the cash.
Yeah.
You dish it out. Or if someone that has it invites you. So I'm like, anybody want to invite me? I'm down. Let's go.
I did it once.
Oh, how was it? Please tell
me. So I'm a little bit like you in that I enjoy Disneyland. Like even, I'm not a Disney adult necessarily, but I still, when my kids want to go, I'll gladly take them and spend a few hours walking around. Yeah. I enjoy it. And it's something
I've steps in too.
Very positive associations with the park and all of this stuff. So my neighbor several houses ago overheard me talking with the kids. Like, oh, you guys are going to Disney? Well, we're Club 33 members. Would you guys like to try that? I'm like, yes. So I've been hearing about this forever and ever. It's this door kind of sort of by Pirates Caribbean.
It is.
If you don't know to look for it, you'd never notice it.
It says 33 on it. That's all you know.
That's it.
That's it.
And there's like a host or a hostess standing outside that's just kind of there.
Yeah.
And it was the only place forever and ever where you could get a beer, a glass of wine, or a cocktail. And it was like a little lounge where Walt Disney would bring VIPs and all of this stuff. And I had this grand vision in my head of what this thing was.
Okay.
It did not live up to the vision. It was cool to be in there, but it was, this was 15 years ago. It's been a long time.
You thought it was going to be like Mardi Gras. Like you were walking in, rowdy as hell, parents going crazy. Yep.
I thought it was going to be very, honestly, elegant. Yes. Exactly right. I thought it was going to be elegant, and it's a Disney restaurant.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't, like, I thought it was going to be fancy.
You had a different vision, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I have a friend who did it. You know, shout out to Yessi Ortiz, and her looked very, very elegant. So I don't know if they did some modifications,
perhaps.
You know, but I do have a quick story for you guys. So I was at the park, and you know how they do the fireworks, right? So I'm there with my boyfriend and his family or whatever, and I laugh. I just like belted out, I don't even know why, but I belted out a laugh. This guy turns around and he goes, "Is that Laura?" And I was like, "Oh my God." And he was like, "I recognize that laugh." And I was like, dude, what? That was so weird, right? And then I was like, oh. And the first thing my boyfriend goes is, dude, you got into Club 33 because he had the hat. He didn't even say hi. He didn't say nothing. He was like, how do we get in? I'm like, say hi first. Maybe that'll help us.
Nice to meet you. How do you get in?
Yeah, how do you get in? But I've always wanted to experience that because I'm a little Disney person.
So this is interesting. Let's say there's a thing you want to do.
Okay.
Club 33, play a private golf course. Get access to a thing that not a lot of people have access to.
PJ.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't ask for it. How do you go about letting the universe or the person that does have access to it know that you want it? Like, because if you just come straight out, hey, how'd you get in there? They're never inviting that person. But if you let it be known, hey, you know, I've always wanted to play that golf course. I've always wanted to
go to that. Yeah, you got to be sly about it. Definitely.
How do you do
sly.
It?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's like an example of something that, I don't know. I'm trying to think here. If there's an example of something that you want to get into, you don't want to be obvious.
Date. Got a date for that?
Well, you have to be obvious enough that they know you're interested without being thirsty about it, right?
Christian was thirsty.
It's one because golf course is the one that always come up. Like, and this is my game plan. Tell me, and if you want to hit us up, 877-710-3776. How do you go about trying to get the hookup without asking for the hookup, right?
That's tough.
It's one of these. You play there? Oh, man, what's your favorite part about that? I've heard nothing but great stories. What do you love about it? Like, show genuine interest that and an enthusiasm for it. Hey, is that par three that I've read about, is that as hard as it everybody says it is?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you may have to come out and find out for yourself one of these times. Mm. Let me hook that up for you. Oh, like my gosh, what an amazing opportunity.
You could also kind of just throw out, look, if there's ever a time, I don't care the time, the play, if something just happens and there's the ability to play that course, put me on the top of your list. I will be there.
So
something like
this
that.
This is a golf course. That would be an automatic. Never him. Never. Can't do it like that. And it's,
why?
It's really? I don't know.
Why?
It is. Because
if you're straight up and you just ask.
You want it a little too much. And the whole community is, if you want us to be with us, then you can't be with us.
Okay, so I
if you're just kind of interested in it.
But now there's a little bit of like, I'm getting turned off
by the
invite.
Like, you know when a guy, like, I hate when a guy's like, oh, girls, you know, don't want honesty. No, yes, we do. If you just want a DTF, let me know. Let me figure out if I'm down too. But then guys are like, nah. But
down
then
to fry.
And when guys are.
The air fryer. The air fryer out there.
But you know, when guys are very like, sneaky, I'm like, ugh. You turn it. It's a turn off.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Like if you're too.
You gotta. There's a. It's a middle. You can't feign total disinterest because then they're like, I don't care at all. But it's like, oh man, I've heard nothing but great things, man.
I'm not golfing there.
I don't want you anyways.
That's not your lane. Like I'm trying to think like a fancy restaurant that somebody may be able to give you that access to, right? That you, oh man, is that souffle as good as I've heard?
If you don't do it, I'm going to give you a negative review on Yelp.
I don't think they care.
What's a restaurant? Because you love golfing.
I do.
So that's a golf thing. For you, restaurants, it's a thing? I did not know. So what's the restaurant that you want to go into? Have you been to Nobu?
No, it's not.
In Malibu?
Number one. I've never been. I want to go.
Oh, you've never?
You just have to pay, right?
I don't think I've been there either.
I've
been to the Mastros near it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's They're a nice right one, too. Yeah, that's nice. So I went with one of my guy friends. He's like my brother. We went for his birthday.
I think John loser. I think the way you go to
Keyshawn uses Nobu like I use Albertsons.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah. But see, it's a different type, right? I've only been there twice.
And grab a roll for $88.
I've only been there twice. The first time it was like a planned thing for friends, and then the second time it was my friend's birthday out of the whim. He's like, let's go to Malibu, and he was like, let's go to Nobu. I'll never forget. He has like a really nice car, but it was in the shop, so he was borrowing a friend's car. Beat up little Honda. So we roll up to Nobu in this beat up little Honda, and you know there's a valet guy.
Sure.
And he looks at us like, do you need directions? And my friend's like, no, we're coming to eat. And we look nice. We weren't like, you know, but he did not think that we could even pay afford
that's
to be
even
in there.
Better to pull up to that place like, yeah, I don't care where you find to park it, but you're parking my beat-up car.
You know what I mean? But it was so rude. Like,
only if they're rude, right? Yeah. If they're not rude, that's different.
And we go in, and we didn't have reservations, and the girl that was there was super sweet. We paid way too much for what we ate, but it was a nice experience. Like, I can say I've been there. And the fact that we pulled up in the hoopty, it was great.
Park this in a better spot. All this stuff happened the last time I came through here.
Trav doesn't have a problem with that. He's not parking valet. Trav, you would park.
I'd walk from Oxnard.
1.6 miles.
1.6?
Yeah.
There's not a distance that's far enough away for me to pay for parking.
I know.
Not happening.
He doesn't do valet.
Why? Some places you just need to.
Laura, I have no good explanation for why. It is completely illogical, but I despise it. Unless there is literally no other option, I will not do it.
There's places like that there's just no other option. But me, I don't pay for it. Like, I'm spoiled. Here, we're spoiled. You know, we have our card, whatever, for the garage. And other places, like, I'm like, I'll walk, man.
I'd park in Alhambra to walk to L.A.
So I'm doing a lap. I'm doing a lap. I need to can I find parking? And then I give up after about 5 minutes.
Bite
the bullet.
I'll spend money on stuff, but
I'll give you a perfect example. On Friday, I was in downtown San Diego. I had to handle something in downtown. And I pull
that
up.
That means a hit.
I pull up.
I love SD.
I pull up to the parking, one of the parking lots, not a structure. It's just a parking lot. And I go to pay, you do everything on the app. So it didn't give me an option of how long I was going to be there. It was
flat rate.
It was only all day parking,
yeah.
And it was $40.
Oof.
Wow.
And I'm like, so I already pulled in and all this stuff, and then I'm going to go pay for the parking on the app. And then I just was like, absolutely, went right back into my car, turned on my car, pulled out, went left, went a couple blocks down, found meter parking, 2 hours,
nice.
$2. I'm like, all
that's
right,
yeah.
We'll go.
That's a good, that's
40
a,
yeah. bucks?
That's outrageous.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's a lot, man.
Am I an attorney?
Frank McCourt still owns the parking lot at Dodgers. Oh, yeah. Every time you go through there and you lay out your 40 or 50
it
or whatever
up.
It is.
Cha-ching. It went up,
guys. It was 40 last year.
Yeah, I think it went up now. I'll Google it. Ugh. But
they need to build that gondola
only,
or whatever.
No,
it is.
The only thing you could thank Frank McCourt for is having to sell, and he sold to literally one of the best groups you
could
possibly sell.
It worked
for.
Out. You know, it's darkest before the dawn, Slee. Yeah. That's what they say. Rosebud Thorn thing next.
Yep.
Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Hey, guys.
Did you slap it?
Yeah, I slapped it. I did a little pre-smacking. I did a little pre-smacking.
Yes.
So good, I'm gonna do my best, Emily impression.
Okay.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
So
roars.
It's time for a Rosebud and Thorn. Roars. So it's a little roar. Icebreaker where you talk about one positive thing and one negative thing that kind of happened in the past day or two.
Yeah, I have four negatives.
Oh,
you just
I'm with
you're like a thicket of snarled thorny bushes.
So Travis, why don't you start off with your Rosebud and Thorn?
Okay, so I'll give you the good one first because. For those of you that are listening, that are parents, you'll understand exactly what I'm about to tell you. You want your kids to have a win every once in a while where you just don't have to, you don't have to find the silver lining. You don't have to find the life lesson. It worked out and you get to say, hey, good job. I'm so happy that happened for you. You know, say, hey, listen, this is something you're going to use later on in life. This isn't as bad as you think it is. Hey, everything's going to be okay. It's just one of the, you just get to say, hey, it all worked out. One of my kids had a little victory yesterday, and it was just nice to be able to say, you know what, good job. There's nothing that feels better than when your kid feels good about him or herself. Nothing makes you feel better than knowing that they feel good.
There you go.
Had one of those moments yesterday, so that's my Rosebud. When you get your kid happy, you're happy.
Solid.
That's a good way
Solid.
To do it. So we had one of those yesterday. The thorn is, I was driving to work this morning, 5:45-ish. Still very dark outside. Not too much traffic quite yet where I am. I'm kind of not down by here. I'm like in the Tustin area down there, Code. And traffic's flowing pretty good. I'm driving, let's call it 80 miles an hour.
Okay.
Ladder in the middle of the
lane,
right? That had been hit several times before because it's torn to pieces.
Oh,
it's covering the
demolishing
entire
your car.
Lane. So I see it. I don't know how far away. Maybe it's by the time I see what it is and I got to move out of the way, it's maybe 50 feet in front of me. Well, I'm going 80 miles an hour. And you can't yank the wheel at 80 miles an hour. You can't slam on the brakes at 80 miles an hour. So
yep.
I just move over to the side. And thank goodness no one was next to me because it wasn't, you don't have time to look, check. You're just moving out of the way because you're about to hit something.
God.
My heart didn't start beating normally again until a good 5-10 minutes deeper into the drive scared the you-know-what out of me in the ladder in the middle of my lane.
You know how we also will have a cop, right? The cop starts swerving. There's something in there. Well, what's going on? Well, there's probably a couch in the middle of the freeway. Relax.
Or a ladder.
So hopefully that happened. That's scary
right there.
Okay, Rosebud for me. Simple, stupid, but these are kind of what some of these things are. Last night, I basically had a decision to make. Am I going to go buy dinner or am I just going to make something simple at home, right? And I don't know how you are usually in those decisions, but 9 out of 10, I'm just going to go get something to eat. I didn't do that. You know how many times you kind of look at your refrigerator and you look and you're like, oh, I got nothing. There's nothing here. Well, just be creative. Come up with something. Okay, maybe it's not going to be the best dinner, but do you need to go spend $20-$25 for no reason
at all?
Milk
cheese on top of something. It's a win.
Okay, so we're not too far away from each other. Just the simple fact, I'm just giving myself credit on this one. I didn't go out and get something.
Okay.
I got a, basically just made a nice wrap. Two eggs, cheese, turkey, some avocado. Mm, put
done.
That all on there.
Sounds good.
Put sure
that
does.
Bad boy together. You know, the egg, I like mine. You call it sunny side up, but a little bit. We'll call it
over medium.
Or over medium.
Over medium.
It's running just a little bit. Use some of that, you know, the tortilla that I have, just kind of scoop it up. It was a good dinner. Save myself $25.
Awesome.
Why am I always trying to tell myself you got to go somewhere else? My thorn. Took Rookie out yesterday. And there's an area, like a small little park. It's not completely fenced up. I take Rookie off his leash, which I don't do very often. Got a couple balls, I'm going to throw him around. I couldn't get Rookie. I couldn't get him. Now, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to the street. Like, that's not going to happen.
But you couldn't catch him? You're like Rocky chasing the chicken?
No, I just stopped chasing him. I just stopped chasing him. Every time I get close, I have these freaking great treats in front. And I tell him to sit, and he knew that I was going to try to, you know, clip him back in. He's like, I'm off. Takes off.
Bye, Dad.
People are like walking around, whose dog is this? I'm like, what a complete freaking mess. Rookie, pick up your act. This is a bad bad parent here.
Aw, he's so
a good
handsome.
Dog. He's just, yeah. You know.
He's Laura? A doggy.
Yeah.
Oh, my turn? Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with my thorn first. So my thorn, we have a parking garage where I live, and that's where we park. And for whatever reason, I feel like the girl, the main manager that deals with that, has it out for me, because every other day, I have a note on my car that says it's a final warning notice for towing.
Oh.
Because it says I'm parked somewhere where I'm not supposed to be parked, or my car's not registered with my sticker. But she called me to tell me to move my car. So I go up there. And I'm like, hey, so what is this about? She goes, oh, I called you because they're doing something on the roof. We don't want to damage your car. And I, yeah, but what is this? Like, what is this that you're talking about? She goes, oh. And I'm like, you called me. So clearly my sticker's registered to my car because you knew how to find me. And two, where I was parked is a non-reserved spot designed for someone, hello, like me that lives here.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, we probably left that by mistake.
And oh, I was like, that's a lie.
I was like, no, because you and I had a conversation last week. I said, and we dealt with this already. I'm like, so now at this point, I'm like, I feel like it's a little personal. And she was like, oh, no. And I'm like, the condescending.
Did you believe her?
Hell no. I want her to smack her. I want her to like just go bam, bam, bam. You know, but I'm trying to be nice. I'm new there. You know, I just moved in August and I get along with everybody.
Not everybody.
Even her. She's nice. She's always been nice to me. But now it's like you have something against my car, and there's not a lot of red cars in the parking lot, so I feel like she spots mine quickly. But I'm like, girl, I have nothing. There's no reason for you to like come at me. So I'm a little bit upset about that.
Okay, that's the thorn.
That's a good thorn.
That's my thorn. Now my rosebud is, I was a little hard to come up with one until I was like, wait, what? I'm working with you guys.
Hey!
So that's my rosebud, you know? You guys, it's early, but I love it. Like, it was a good...
Do you
good,
feel
it was,
better? Remember
I
in
do.
The beginning you said you were a little...
I was nervous.
It didn't show.
I'm still a little nervous. Great.
Man Fatal. Of the people, host of the year.
That's
it can
right.
be a little nerve-wracking.
That's right.
Yeah,
she was first one here this morning. I got here early. I got here a little bit before 7. She was already posted up, ready to go.
Yeah, I was.
Look at
I
that.
I was posted yeah. up. But yeah, that's my rosebud. So what about yours,
good job,
Cody?
Lord.
All right, rosebud and thorn, it's correlating. It's has to do something with one another, and it's kind of stupid, just like Alan a little bit. It's about food. So yesterday it was around like... took a nap once I got back home in Tustin, and then me and my roommate were kind of hungry. It's probably like 9 o'clock, and we're like, oh, what's still open? You know, a lot of things closed now since the pandemic, so we're like, oh, let's just get Wingstop. Wingstop's the easy choice, right? We're like, all right, let's go get it. So this Wingstop, though, that we have near our house is a little notorious for having a little lacking in quality control.
Okay.
So I'll start with the thorn first. So the thorn, they were like, so we got there, and we're still waiting, and it's like a 15-minute drive. We got there. Our order wasn't ready yet, but they gave us our drinks. So we get our drinks, and then we finally got the food. We go home. I take a sip of the drink, and I got a cherry Coke. It was a little watered down, right? And I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's
yeah, save a little money. Throw a little water in there and mix it up. My mom used to do that for years. There'd be like this much Tang left. She filled the whole thing up with water. I'm like, Mom, I don't even know what it is anymore. It's like, yeah, you're fine.
We pull out the we pull out the food, the fries, a little cold. We're like, ugh. So we're like, this is like so on brand for this Wingstop to be so like crappy.
Mid.
We're like, ugh. And then I pull out. So that's kind of the thorn. Cold fries, little watered down cherry Coke, but the Rosebud. So I ordered, I went a little different. I got original hot.
Okay.
And then I decided to get the Lakers legendary garlic. It's like a little Parmesan garlic, right? And then, so I eat the original hot. That's fine. And then I get to the Lakers legendary garlic. I'm like, I had it before and I was like, this tastes a little different. So I think they messed up my order, but I'm okay with it because it was like a Cajun garlic and Parmesan.
Good.
Yeah, I'm okay with all
it was
of
like
that.
Garlic, Parmesan, and Cajun. And I was like, they definitely messed up because I was like, I had this before. I'd never had this type of spice or tang, but I was like, I'm kind of into it.
But
so
legit,
I was like,
good?
It was super
that
good.
Sounds really
so,
good.
And I actually got more of that than that original hot. So I'll go with that as the Rosebud. So a little
okay,
positive
question,
and negative.
What did we... Was this for Ask Cody? Was it last week that this came up about the wings?
Yeah.
Okay. Did that motivate you at all to go?
Not necessarily.
Sometimes we talk about something and I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go.
My roommates usually, we have like five choices that we go for foods and Wingstop is just
one. You know what the move is? Is you go, I don't know, it's late at night, so maybe it wasn't going to work out exactly like it last night, but you eat most of it and you go, this was not what I ordered. And then they replace
sure,
you with what you did order.
There's two wings left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that, Trev?
Yeah. No, but they'll fix it. Because usually, like, you go to a restaurant, you order a burger, right? Whatever, and you take a bite, you're like, this is not
what I ordered. You got my order wrong. Yeah, but where's your order? I ate it.
We went to this place. I wanted the big wave. I want a classic cheeseburger. I wanted cheddar cheese, bacon, pickle, onion, lettuce, tomato. Just classic, right? Yep. Well, they brought me out like this blue cheese bacon thing that had this like béarnaise sauce on it. It was awesome. and I took a bite of it because I'm like, well, this clearly isn't what I ordered.
Well,
I'm going to try it. I'm going to taste this.
I'm going to throw it away anyway.
Ate the whole thing.
That's
it was
true.
Delicious. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had an instance like this might have happened at like McDonald's or like a fast food chain where like you ordered something and you get someone else's order, but you realize that their order is more expensive, so you just take their order?
Hey, that's just good luck.
That's God telling you, here you go. Yeah. Here you go.
I try to return it. Can you put it on this credit card?
You know what happened to me? So I went to a game at Crypto. I can't believe I'm actually saying it like that. But anyways, and we ordered something and the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. They brought you the wrong order. I'm like, oh, that's fine. He's like, no, let me make good. I was like, all right, because ours was more expensive. So they did. And then, you know, he grabs the wrong one. And usually they'll be like, oh, here, you can take that one too. It was our mistake. And he like throws it to the trash. And I'm
bro.
I think they have to.
Well,
no.
Usually they'll leave it. They'll just let you keep it.
Yeah, they'll let you keep it.
If anything comes back, we'll make it right,
but you just keep that.
Yeah. And it wasn't like we needed it, but I'm like, there's people out there, whatever. Like, you could. It just bugged me. It bugged me so much. And I don't even know why, because we wouldn't have finished it.
There's your thorn for next time. Double thorns.
Sorry, guys.
Double thorns for Laura. Don't forget, pickleball tournament this Saturday. The Pickleball Madness Tournament this Saturday at Agape Pickleball Center, Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley. We get going at 10 a.m. We're going to go till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Food, drinks, games, fun zone, basketball all over the TVs. Plus, the biggest birthday card in the world. It is Mace's birthday. We're also going to be celebrating Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary here at ESPN LA. So RSVP right now for your seat. You go to ESPNLA.com. You click the Pickleball Madness logo. And a big thank you to Children's Dental Fun Zone. Children's Dental Fun Zone. We treat your kids as our own. The Dump, coming up next, is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Let's start with this, Lee. Jimmy G is a member of the Los Angeles Rams right now, and he was talking a little bit yesterday. He was talking about he's got to serve a 2-game suspension at the beginning of the year. He violated the league's PED policy and said it was a administrative mistake or anything, whatever.
Yeah, I'm out 2 days in April. Same thing.
Yeah. It's about the same thing, right? But what he was talking about, why he's here, I thought is really interesting. And he was talking about how he had a conversation with Sean McVay and basically described the sales job that McVay talked about with the type of offense they're going to run, the type of talent that they're going to surround him with, and all of the opportunities available to him. And you could tell Jimmy, it's like, it just made a lot of sense. I was very excited about getting to join not only that team, but to get to go play for that guy. And then he mentioned later in the conversation that I saw what happened to Baker Mayfield after spending 5 weeks with this team, and he got an opportunity to go start somewhere else. Now he signed a $100 million deal. And I don't know if you can really put a value on how important that is if you are a Rams fan, that Sean McVay can sell potential people on coming here. Hey, come here. This is what I can do for you. This is what this team can do for you. We can give you an opportunity. Maybe you're a backup here, but that doesn't mean you're a backup somewhere else. And the opportunity to do that is really hard to quantify, but I think it's incredibly important.
It's big. Listen, it's easy to go sell a starting quarterback. We got a starting job for you.
Right.
Right? What if it's a much less desirable position? What if, hey, we're going to help build you? This is I don't know if it's the best example, but it's an example. The Dodgers, you might have a pitcher that struggled somewhere else, and you're like, okay, we've had some success.
Tyler,
we have some
Anderson.
Players that we're able to bring into our system. See if you can have some success here. To be honest, your numbers might be a little distorted here because we do have an offense. We are going to be able to protect you better, and maybe that's going to get you a contract somewhere else.
Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson is exactly that's a perfect example. But you can talk about
trick a dope like Hardy Marino into giving you a whole bunch of money because you pitched well once.
Or how about players that I know they're still with the Dodgers,
but Muncy
can have success with the Dodgers and maybe wasn't having success before. Whatever the case is, the Garoppolo, there is an actual example. Like there's an example. Look, we had a quarterback come in and have success, and I think for part of the conversation we talked about yesterday, there is value in a good backup quarterback.
Look, and I'm not saying he's the second coming of Joe Montana. That's not what I'm saying. But Jimmy Garoppolo is much better than anybody realizes. Jimmy Garoppolo took a team to the Super Bowl.
He's competent. He's competent, and that's all you really need in the NFL.
Absolutely. His record as a starting quarterback in the NFL, it's something like 44-23. It's like two to the good. That's not just competency, which is a code. I use that term all the time, and I use it as a compliment. This is what you have to look at. We need to get through today. Do we have a chance? Absolutely, we have a chance with Jimmy G. Matthew Stafford got his ankle rolled up on. He's done for the day. Okay, we got a chance with Jimmy G? Absolutely. Matthew Stafford got his leg rolled up on, and he might not be gone, and he might be gone for the rest of the season, but we're in first place, and we got 4 weeks left in the season. Are you dead? No. Do you love it? Of course not. But are you dead? No. Were the Eagles dead with Nick Foles? No. We've seen other guys step in and be are you dead with Skylar Thompson from the Dolphins a couple of, yep, you're dead. Two is out. That's it. Not happening. With Jimmy G, you're not dead. It's not perfect, but you're still very much in it.
That's all you're asking for. I think there's a lot of teams in the NFL, if they thought, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, which I know the Raiders went out and paid, but if you said that's your backup quarterback, I think there's a lot of teams out there that would be happy with that.
The cost of a Final Four ticket for the men is less expensive than a Final Four ticket for the women.
Wow.
For the first time in Final Four history. And by the way, it's not really close. The average price for a woman's ticket is about $200 more than the average price for a man's ticket.
Get it, girls. I love that.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that women's have an advantage of right now in college basketball is I know they're stars, right?
Yeah, you do.
Angel Reese, Angel Caitlin Reese. Clark.
Yep.
We have a few players out there that were like, okay, hey, I know who this player is. And isn't that kind of the face of any sport? You got to know the name. You got to know who the person is. I'll give you an example. Last year in the Final Four, it was FAU, San Diego State, Connecticut, and I'm drawing a blank on the last. Who was it? Point is that I don't think
anybody. I think you just made the point.
I think nobody knew any of the players.
Right.
Nobody knew any of the actual players over there. The only player that we sort of knew, I know that's Bobby Hurley's brother, who's coaching Connecticut.
And it's not even Dan Hurley. It's Bobby Hurley's brother.
Yeah.
You know who the most famous college basketball player was this year, men's college basketball player? Bronny James.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And he was on a bad team, and he didn't play particularly well.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
Okay.
That was the most popular.
But it's because of...
It's because his dad is LeBron James.
LeBron James. Yeah, let's
right?
be real.
And that's not a good point for the sport. And look, there were play-in games last night. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of this, how about this? Emily was right about this. She watches her UVA basketball pretty closely because she was saying, this is a terrible team. They need to blow it up. They need to start over. They lost to Colorado State yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They missed 19 shots in a row at one point. That for 59 minutes of actual time, like if you start a stopwatch and let it run for 59 minutes, UVA did not score a single point.
Now
that does include halftime,
that's
which is
insane,
20 minutes.
Yeah.
But that also means that there's 39 more minutes of actual real time.
How's that game
that's not being taken place?
How is it not canceled? If I was a sponsor for that game, I'd have pulled my sponsorship in the middle of the game.
13:53. So let's call it 14 minutes.
Yeah.
14 minutes of clock time.
Ugh.
They didn't score a point. 14 minutes they didn't score a point.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Even me and Slee could have gone there and run a pick and roll on a bucket.
I'm hitting a one bucket.
14 minutes? You got guys that are ACC basketball players, couldn't get the ball in the basket once, couldn't make a single free throw?
Well, she did say she just wants the misery to end.
It did.
It ended.
It did.
It's over.
How is that a product that you're... I mean, I get it. We all like to fill out our brackets. We all like to watch Cinderella and all that. I get it. It's fun for a couple of weeks. But this is not a product. I used to.
With college basketball, and this was years ago, I used to really, really get excited for Thursday. Games start at 9 a.m. They're going to basically run till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Now my interest is purely on San Diego State University.
Sure.
That's it. Yeah. I don't have interest past that. Doesn't mean I won't watch a game here or there. It doesn't mean if somebody says, hey, this number 15 seed is up 5 with 3 minutes left to go. But you got to be specific of why I'm tuning into it.
All right. I'm gonna take all of us at our word right here. Mm-hmm. Don't look around the studio. Just kind of all look at each other.
Okay.
Can you tell me the 4 seeds in college basketball, the number 1 seeds in the men's tournament? The number 1 team, the 4 best teams in the country.
I think the only one that I could tell you is, I'm assuming Houston is on there.
I think they are.
They were for a while.
I think that's one.
And Connecticut is on there as well. They're the number 1 overall seed. And that should do it, my brother.
Yeah, that's the one.
That should do it.
UConn, Houston, Purdue.
Yes.
Yeah, Purdue's
one more to go.
And we can't even confirm or deny because...
I think it's...
Just push Sedano's is right there. Push it over.
I got it. I just looked at it down there. It's a blue blood. Think
Kansas?
Blue bloods. No.
Kentucky.
No.
Oh, UNC.
Carolina.
I actually held them as my winner.
Yeah. See? There you go.
But then he didn't even think about it.
So sick.
Crazy.
Yeah. Eastern Island, don't want to hang out with us.
You know what we should do, Cody, right now?
Don't hang out with us.
We should do a little super crosstalk.
Woo!
At 3 a.m., you were.
I was. My alarm went off.
Okay.
And
then
I
what?
Said, F this, and I went back to sleep.
Ireland, you didn't even say, although you're an insomniac, so you might have been awake anyway.
No, but it was weird. I set my alarm because someone whose name might rhyme with Meave Sason swore to me that the game was not on Spectrum Sportsnet, that it was only on...
I didn't swear. I just knew it was
on ESPN. Exact opposite. It was only available on Spectrum Sportsnet.
No, is that right? Yeah. I thought it was on ESPN.
It was blacked out in Los Angeles.
So I was stunned. I taped ESPN, and automatically my TiVo...
It'll find it.
Taped it and taped Joe Davis on Oral.
Oh, nice.
So I saw the whole game when I woke up.
See, I got SportsCenter when I woke up. I hit, because I recorded ESPN. Yeah. It said MLB Baseball. I hit the record, and then it turns out they didn't have the game at all.
This
so I didn't
game
even
is unavailable in your
then,
area.
Then you decided to just watch SportsCenter at 3 a.m.
Right.
To prepare for the show with Colorado State and Virginia yesterday.
I'll tell you what. Is that why Emily's off today? Because Virginia was so bad?
Yeah.
She predicted it.
They apparently went 9 minutes without scoring a basket.
No.
Oh, it's worse?
14 minutes. 14 minutes of clock time. An entire hour of real time elapsed within between
that
basketball.
Possible? That Tony Bennett style of basketball really works.
Although he won a title doing
it. He did.
Just ugly.
Have you guys watch a lot of baseball? I watch a lot of baseball, but saying I've never seen that in baseball before, Scully was saying that 70 years into calling games. You guys ever seen a ball just go through somebody's glove before?
Oh, I was going to say through the roof, too.
No, well, that, but
it busted a hole in the roof.
Cronenworth, the ball went right through the center of his glove. Yes.
Yeah, it looked like the webbing wasn't tied tight enough. Yeah, and broke. No, I've never seen that.
Which is why the game yesterday should not have counted, or this morning.
I was talking to Bergman earlier this morning, and I said, now, Cronenworth got an error for that.
He did.
But he really doesn't deserve the
he doesn't.
That was a 3-6-1 double play.
Probably.
Written all over it if it weren't for the glove.
You were saying that there's no way.
He's responsible for making sure he has a functioning glove. That's the error.
Can I nerd out real quick for a second?
Nerd away.
Okay, so the type of glove that he has like an H web. Yeah, okay, so it's kind of like this.
What a nerd.
The old H web.
The leather straps that sew all those pieces together, run through the middle of the H's. You can't see the vast majority of them. So clearly, that piece of leather that ultimately broke was ready to snap. You can't see it. It's on the inside of the glove, so it's just terrible.
Okay, what but I have no problem giving him an error.
No, it's an error.
No, it's an error, but I'm just saying. What could have happened?
So I was telling Slee, here's what could have happened, and I think it probably would have happened anyway. Let's say, instead of the ball going to Cronenworth, it's a ground ball to Manny Machado, and he picks it up to throw
fires
across
it over
the diamond.
To first.
It goes right through the glove anyway. The guy's safe anyway.
Right.
Because the next time the
and
ball...
And by the way, Machado, do you guys know why Machado didn't play in the field?
I don't.
DH'd.
Maybe he's got an elbow or something.
The guy who played in place one made a great defensive play.
He also had the air.
When they throw the ball, the next time the ball hit the pocket of that glove, it was going through it. It just happened to be hit to him.
Yes.
But if there was a throw, it still was going to be an error on Cronenworth and runs were coming in.
Now, when Otani hit the ball, and I've watched the highlights of this, down the right field line, hit the roof, and apparently just broke right through the roof and kept on going.
You know, he's done that before.
Oh, really?
At the Tokyo Dome, which... There's a highlight in there when he was in the Japanese league. He's done that before. Literally, everybody just stopped because they didn't know, like, okay, what do you do? The ball just went through whatever webbing.
It's like Paul Bunyan stuff.
It really is.
It just doesn't mean that guy's hitting it through the roof of the stadium. Stupid. That doesn't even make any sense.
So I heard you driving in, Trev. You would give Glasnow a C minus for that game?
C.
Yeah, I would agree.
I said B minus.
Yeah, I'm with Slee.
No, you can't walk four guys in four innings.
I don't care if you walk 10 guys. I'm with Slee.
Then
you give
wrong.
Up two runs.
Yeah,
you're
two runs.
That's just wrong.
I think
four
walks and two strikeouts.
Four walks in, I think it was three strikeouts.
Three strikeouts.
A walk in inning is playing with fire. That will never work.
But if they don't score, what difference does it make?
Because you're not pitching well. That's what I'm grading him on. I'm grading him on how he pitched,
not
the result necessarily. His pitching was mediocre.
Two runs, five innings.
Yeah. Four walks, four innings.
If it weren't for the walks, I'd say, great. But you walk that many guys, you are playing with fire. I would say, a decent start.
It was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
It was
average.
The game was eh. Like, the game
was
bad.
Did you slap awake for it?
No, I did not.
Okay. The game was
no extra base hits.
Yes.
There were 13 walks and
Padres
two errors. That's not a good baseball game.
Padres gave up 9 walks.
Yeah.
Used 8 pitchers. I mean, that's not a clean game by any stretch.
No. The Dodger bullpen very good.
Looked good.
Threw up zeros.
Looked good. Kelly looked good. Brazier was a find.
Yeah, and they signed him to a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
They
pulled him off the scrap heap
really
of the Red Sox
guy.
Last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys should talk about something. I'm going.
Trav is dropping Glasnow.
I am.
Trav
More
wants Glasnow off the team. He wants to pitch
Look, he got out of
there
healthy.
I wouldn't have given him that contract. But, I mean, who am I to doubt Andrew Friedman? Every time that guy does something,
it
normally works.
No, but that's
works.
Not... I'm with you. That's not a Dodger contract.
Right.
When they first
Very
traded
unlike
for him,
them.
First traded for him.
They didn't need to give him the extension either.
He had 1 year left.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
135 for... That's just not typically a Dodger contract.
This reminds me of when the Rams gave Jared Goff a deal a year before they had to give it to him. They didn't need to give it to him. And they gave it to him anyway. And they had to give up a bunch of, number ones to get rid of it.
To get rid of him, yeah.
But let's see. Maybe Glasnow will prove us all wrong. He's from Valencia.
I think he'll have a good year. I just didn't think that was an especially good start.
Well, his career high in starts is 19.
21.
I heard
no, it was 21
wasn't
last
it last year?
Yeah, 21
it was 21
year.
Last year. Still, that's low.
Yeah, very low.
Trav changed his contract with you guys.
He did
he's
what?
He's basically decided... Like 108 is like his.
Is that really 108?
Wait, I can do that because if I'm doing that, then my time for Sedano and Cap is 108.
Right.
Is 404.
Because right now we go to 412.
So if it's an option,
he's a negotiator like no tomorrow. I mean, he basically put them to the fire.
So he's a 108 kind of guy now.
He's leaving 108. Oh, wow. I'm going to beat that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
I feel like 404 is the number.
And today we are leaving in honor of Trav. We're leaving at
404.
Cap will love that.
Yeah,
he is.
Where are you going?
He's going to end up talking to somebody in the hallway, and him and I still going to walk out together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is he going?
I think Michael might have a baseball game.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. A lot of baseball games.
Yeah. By the way, that Cecil Hotel thing, they should tear that thing down.
Okay, but who's going to...
Have you the Cecil Hotel thing they were talking about
earlier? You seen that doc?
No.
There's a documentary about the Cecil Hotel here in downtown L.A. where there have been murders and
Since the
Night Stalker used to hang out, and they found a body in the building, like in the basement or something.
Right.
And now they're talking about...
No, the body was in the water tower.
Oh, that's so freaky.
Okay, this reminds me of a great story.
You have to see this doc. The doc,
yeah,
is
amazing.
Is it on Netflix?
I'll find out.
I think it's on Netflix, yeah.
All right, so one time we're checking into this hotel in Memphis. And the way it works when you're on a when you travel with a basketball team, when you get to the hotel, there's a big like card table set up with a bunch of envelopes on it. One of the envelopes has your name. You just grab your envelope and look on the back, and it'll have your room number, and you go up to your room. So normally they keep all of us media types on the same floor. So like me, Trudell, Michael, Stu, Billy, all the Spectrum guys are all on the same floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we all go up to, I don't know what it was, the eighth floor. And Mark Shaw, our TV producer, looks at his envelope, looks at the room number, goes, and he's getting ready to put his key to open the door, and the door opens, and they're wheeling a dead body out.
No way!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, do you stay in that room?
Hell no. Wait a minute. You're going to a room where they just hauled a dead body out
of?
No, my God, no.
I can't remember.
I can't believe you're even renting that room out.
That's I can't remember.
Yeah, you know it the next day.
Let me. You know what? I'm going to try and call him and see if he answers.
Cross paths with a dead body.
I can't remember.
This is the only one we have.
We got it. We're cleaning up your room right now.
If he stayed in that room
they're just spraying.
Or not.
We're cleaning up your room. It's all right.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm calling him now. We'll see if he answers his phone.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, I can't remember what he did. I think, if I remember correctly, he
couldn't have possibly stayed in the
There wasn't another room.
So he stayed in the dead body room?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Would you buy a house that's on the market where there's...
Where they're willing to...
Where there's...
Right, listen, if somebody passed away just because of, you know,
right,
age,
like my house in Westwood, a little old lady died in the kitchen. I was fine with that.
Okay.
She died of natural causes. She wasn't murdered or anything like that.
What if there was a murder?
Yeah, no.
Would you... I wouldn't either.
I know where you're
I know we say that casually here, but I'm being honest. I can't buy a house that's... Even if it's...
What if you're getting an unbelievable
discounted
deal?
Yeah, what if it's a great bargain?
Okay, here's a good example.
That's
OJ's house
pitch
on Rockingham was a really nice house, but all the looky-loos started driving by it after the murders. The people that eventually bought it leveled the whole thing and put up a whole new house. Would you do that? If you got a great deal on it?
That's the problem. That I'm okay with.
Okay,
that's much different.
What about the Nicole Brown place,
apartment,
which is still there?
In Brentwood.
Yeah. Yep, it's still there. They did a total remodel of it, so it doesn't look like...
That's a great question.
Not doing it.
Can't do it.
I'm not
Could
doing it.
I live in... And the murders were committed in the walkway,
correct,
right?
In the walkway.
Could I live in that house if they gave me an unbelievable... I don't think I could do it.
That'd be really tough.
It'd be in my head too much.
It's basically you're living in a house where one of the most famous murders of all time happened.
It doesn't have to be that. Any type of
But little old lady dies in the kitchen. You'd
be okay
with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that too.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Why do we say that?
What if she's murdered?
Then I really have a tough decision. I don't know. How bad was it?
What if I give you like the deal of a lifetime? What if it's a $3 million house and I'm giving to you for like $1.5 million?
Mace isn't even going to live
Real
there.
Estate is tough in this town.
Mace is going to rent it out.
Yeah, well, that'll be a good rental. That'll be a good rental property.
But are you required to disclose?
The owner I think
to disclose?
Wait, in a rent... You're a landlord. I was a landlord. Do you have to disclose that there was a murder when you're renting an apartment?
I've never had a home where that was the case. I would have... I don't know.
Yeah. Those disclosures.
Somebody in real estate
just
will
get
know.
A property
those disclosures
manager
are interesting. Like when I bought my place in Venice, my first place, second place in Venice, one of the disclosures was waves are really loud. I'm like, well,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's an interesting thing to disclose. But yeah, no, I'll take that.
California Civil Code requires landlords to disclose to prospective tenants any death that has occurred on the rental property premises within the past 3 years.
There you go.
See, in the case of the
Brentwood waiting
place,
period.
Yeah,
it's
the 3 years has elapsed.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing today?
We have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, no clue. Just screwing around.
Sometimes that's the best shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to fill out our brackets. Ireland, did you figure out your brackets and all that? Do you have a Final Four yet?
I just did it.
Do you got SDSU at least in the Sweet 16?
No. I got them winning two games.
Okay, then
yeah,
sweet
that's
16.
Sweet 16.
We're good, and then you got them losing to UConn. Then I'm assuming.
Yeah,
who's the number one overall seed?
I picked UConn to win it.
All right, that'd be back-to-back.
I don't have them going to the Sweet 16.
Come on, man. Who do you have them losing to? Auburn?
I have them losing to Auburn.
Come on,
so what's your final four, Aaron?
I need you.
Two ones, a two, and a three.
I'm two ones and two twos.
Yeah, here's mine right here. So my final four is UConn, Kentucky, Purdue, and Arizona.
Okay, we have one overlap. I've got Connecticut, Arizona, Marquette, and Purdue.
Okay, so I have Kentucky and you have Marquette.
Correct.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have the same Final Four.
Yeah, but I ran Kentucky way out as my squirrel team. I got them going all the way to the final.
They got talent.
They got NBA talent every year.
You guys are all wrong. SDSU is going to the Final Four. Brought to you by
2 years in a row.
Brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. Always fresh and made to order.
You're
at In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about. We'll see you guys at Islands tomorrow.